Hello, I'm with Joan Klagsbrun. Hi, Joan.
Hello, Serge.
So, Joan, you've been involved in focusing for many years, so maybe a good way to start would be to talk about what's important to you about focusing.
Well, thank you. Over the years, two aspects of focusing have continued to intrigue me. And the first is focusing as a healing process.
Mm-hmm.
Not a curing process, but one that restores a sense of wholeness for people.
Mm-hmm.
A sense of integrity and unity. And the second I've also been intrigued with is focusing as a pathway to the spiritual. So those are the two aspects that I'd like to talk about today.
Great, great. So maybe as you started to make a distinction between healing and curing, do you want to talk a little bit more about, healing?
Well, if it's okay, I'd like to start by telling you a story that I hope will reveal the healing aspects that I'm interested in.
Great.
And the story was that I met Eugene Genlin early in my career as a psychologist, which was very lucky for me. And at the time that I met him, he was doing a 2-year sabbatical in New York. And I live in Boston, and he very kindly invited me to come down and then he would supervise me. And so I did. I think every other Friday I drove down to New York. And often after I would have a session with Gene, where I was really just learning focusing, I would visit my parents who lived in New York. And at the time, my mother was dealing with ovarian cancer.
Uh-huh.
And she had been diagnosed about 18 months prior to this time I'm telling you about. And I decided, it was very tense between my mother and me because we didn't have a way to talk honestly about our fears and about the cancer. We were close, but there were a lot of barriers to true intimacy between us. And,
uh-huh.
and I could tell that we both felt some urgency to get closer at this point. And so one day I asked her whether she'd be willing to experience focusing, which I had just been learning about. And I fully expected her to say, no, that's not my thing, dear, because she was not particularly psychologically minded.
Uh-huh.
But to my great surprise and delight, she said instead, well, what have I got to lose? Go ahead. So I didn't know a lot of focusing, and so my efforts with her were somewhat clumsy. It turned out to be a very important encounter with her. So I'll tell you a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that it was a very cool March day, and we were sitting outside on a porch. On a bench together with a little blanket over us. And I suggested that she close her eyes and take a few breaths and bring her attention down into the center of her body and just notice what wanted her awareness there. And she didn't say anything for a long time, but I could tell by the expression on her face that she was doing some sorting inside. And then what she said is, well, what I find is less fear about dying than I would have guessed. And then she said she actually felt very grateful for the 60 years she had and that was thinking about some of the highlights of her life, and two of them were the days that my sister and I were born. So that was very, of course, very touching to hear.
I want to just share with you that as I'm hearing the story, I feel moved.
Mm.
There is a quality just in your telling it that that is very moving.
Well, it happened many, many years ago, but it feels very present to me as I'm telling it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, then she was quiet again, and she said, but what I feel there is some fists knotted up inside of me. And so I remembered to say, well, Mom, can you just stay with those fists and see what they might want to say to you? And she said, I've been having chemo for 18 months, and the doctors are not giving me a lot of hope. And these treatments have been very punishing to me. And I think I would like to stop. But the knots, the fists that are like knots inside of me, are that I feel like I'd be letting you down.
Mm.
And she cried and I cried. And she really was asking if it would be okay with me for her to stop. And so through my tears, I said, of course, I want you to be around as long as possible, but it sounds like you know that you have done enough and you want to really stop treatment. And I think it's fine with me because I want you to have it the way you want it. And I'm sure it'll be fine with the rest of the family. And we hugged, and she seemed stronger.
Uh-huh.
And then she said, you know, I have felt like a ship at sea kind of stalled. And this feels more like going out as a captain of my own ship. And that's more my style. So that was a very, yeah, she did stop chemotherapy. And in fact, a couple of days later, she said to me, remember those knots I mentioned to you? They're gone now. So she was really able to restore her sense of wholeness and to choose the way that she would live out the end of her life and face her death. And that felt very powerful to both of us.
Yeah, yeah. So no wonder that healing is so important when it's associated with that experience of being able to create a sense of healing, not curing for your mother, but also that healing, the ability to give you the possibility for the two of you to communicate.
Well, exactly. That's right. So the encounter with her revealed a number of things to me as I thought about it later. And one was that one could be surprised by what was true. She didn't know that she thought she was afraid of dying, and then she found she wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And that was comforting to her and to me, of course. And then the other is that she was able to put into words from her felt sense. And from that feeling of wholeness, she was able to say that she wanted to stop the chemotherapy.
Uh-huh.
And then the third aspect is what you just mentioned, is that she was able to talk to me in a new way, that there was an intimacy that was created by the focusing process that connected us and changed our relationship and allowed her to be more authentic to me and with me and me to be with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that has remained true these many years for me, that when you're focusing with someone, whether it's a focusing partner or a client or a friend, it really transforms the relationship in a healing direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it allows for a move towards wholeness and towards being more present to yourself and to the other person.
Yep. Yeah, and so in a way, that quality is addictive in a good way.
It is. I think that's why most of us who are focusers are so passionate about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so many times I've heard students, when I put them in, you know, I ask them to go into pairs to do focusing, to say things like, you know, I feel like I'm treading on spiritual ground, I'm so privileged, I'm so moved, right? And I think it's very inherent in the focusing process that we do with another that creates that kind of intimacy.
Yeah. So it's also something where if we stop being so logical about the words being different, there seems to be a very strong connection at the level of experience between that quality of healing, of wholeness, but also a sense of spirituality.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the experience with my mother interested me in working with people with illness. So I've been doing that a lot for the last several decades.
Uh-huh.
I've been so impressed how the focusing process helps people to reduce their stress and to feel clearer, but also to open the doorway to the spiritual realm for so many people.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been thinking about how that happens. You know, what is it about the clearing of space and the focusing process that allows people to open this doorway? And I don't fully have the answer. There's still some mystery in there for me. But
mm-hmm.
Some of the processes, one is that I think clearing a space changes your perspective. It allows you to remember that you are not your problems, that you're much larger than them.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to get the right distance so you can find that wider perspective. You know, most of us are so cramped up by our problems, we can't find that place where we are not them.
Yeah, so it's a different experience. It's just a shift from being so immersed in the problem that we confuse ourselves with the problems and we take the sense of a little distance. But it's not a distance in the sense of feeling distant. Something happens there that's it's a quality that's a little difficult to express in words.
You're so right. Yes, it is not about taking distance, leaving them behind, abandoning them, forgetting them. It's about creating a new relationship with them where you are in a dancing distance instead of having mm-hmm. them sitting on your lap, breathing down your neck. And that I find is very empowering for people. And
so just when you say instead of having them in your lap or breathing down your neck, it seems like the part of the shift is from being a victim of the problems to having more of a role in terms of having a dance. You use the expression of a dance. So it's not being just a leader, but having some kind of interaction with them where you're not a victim.
Exactly, yes. And that's why I use the word empowering. Because mm-hmm. I think we can feel so overwhelmed by our problems. Isn't that a word that we so often use in this culture? Mm-hmm. And this allows us to shift that relationship where we can feel that we're more than our problems. And that changes our thinking. And I love the phrase by Einstein who says, we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I find that focusing actually very subtly changes the paradigm where you're no longer trying to solve your problems, right? But you're just really coming to a place where you can connect with who you are underneath them and beyond them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's that shift is not just a way of looking at the problem differently in order to still try to solve it, but actually no longer trying to solve it and focusing on yourself or just having more of the experience of who you are.
That's right. I had a client recently use a phrase that was very helpful to me. We were clearing a space together, and she said afterwards, I feel like I just took off a very heavy overcoat that I realize I don't need to be wearing all the time.
Mm.
And I love that. It's like we're all wearing many too many coats that we could take off mm-hmm. and feel freer and more open to what's possible.
Yeah, yeah. So it's shedding layers.
Right, right.
And as you do that, you know, with focusing, with specifically the clearing of space, there is a sense of more wholeness and also a sense of contact with the spiritual.
That's so true. I'm thinking about a client who I'm working with who has a serious diagnosis of cancer, and she has three small children. Mm. And she has found the clearing a space to be a very useful process because she's carrying around so much fear and so much anxiety, and it's so hard for her to bear the uncertainty about the future. And so each week she comes in and she's able to find what's there that's between her and feeling a sense of peace or a sense of well-being or a sense of spirituality or a sense of compassion with herself. And so we just each week take these issues out, and she's often surprised by what she finds there. You know, sometimes it's the fear of not being around her children and not being there for their growing up years, and sometimes it's a fear about her husband not being competent enough with the children, so that she fears leaving them in his care. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it might be about some interaction she's had going to a hospital and how she feels so anxious going into the hospital. So, you know, whatever it is, we greet it, we say hello to it, we welcome it, and then she finds a way to put it in a place that feels like a safe place to hold it so that she can get a little respite from it.
Right. And it's striking as you talk about these fears of hers, is they're absolutely not trivial fears. So it's not about minimizing you know, the clearing of space is certainly not about minimizing the fear and say, oh, no big deal.
You're so You're so right. These are very real and huge. But there's still a way to get in dancing distance with them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not unusual in the fact that she likes to go when she clears a space. She ends up in the same safe place each week. And that could change. But so far, she keeps going back to a place that she went to in summer camp. She was in the woods, and it was a very safe and healing space for her. And so she returns there, and so that brings back her whole childhood positive experience of being in this lovely, safe space. And then she can almost always find her way to, and then the word changes each time, you know, the experience changes. Sometimes it's spaciousness, and sometimes it's calmness, and sometimes it's relief, and sometimes it's hope.
Mm-hmm. So it feels a little bit like some spiritual approaches that talk about finding your true nature. And it seems that as this client of yours goes through the clearing of space, it removes the layers and the obstacles that are in the way of her being in touch with her true nature and her peaceful self.
Yes, that's right. And it's surprising to her and sometimes to me that she's able to get there and 10 minutes or 15 minutes when she walks in and she's so full of anxiety and fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I also want to say that this is not true for all clients. There are some people who take to this approach and there are others who do better with mindfulness or imagery, guided imagery, or any number of other mind-body tools. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's important to put this in context that it works for some people beautifully and not so much for others.
So when you were saying it works for some people beautifully and not so much for others, are you referring to focusing as a whole or to clearing a space specifically?
I was speaking about clearing a space particularly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I have found that it's always worth trying with people and that for many people I find it's useful. Some it just reduces stress and some it opens this doorway to some larger realm. But, you know, there are some people for whom just bringing attention inside is difficult. And so they get in touch with one issue and then it's hard for them to just say hello to it. And so then, of course, we just go right on to focusing with that issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think many aspects of the focusing process facilitate opening to the spiritual realm. But before I actually get to them, I remembered that I wanted to share with you that I have, in the last years, done a little bit of research on the mm-hmm. space process. And so I'd like to just share.
Yeah. No, great.
I have been very inspired by Doralee Grindler Katona's work. She did her doctoral dissertation on clearing a space with people with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Had some very important results about people mood being changed and them feeling, I think, less depression. And this was over, I think she did 12 weeks of clearing a space individually with people. And so that I always felt like I wanted to see, to do another research study to show that, because I very much think that clearing a space like Reiki or guided imagery needs to have research behind it, so that when we go to hospitals and say that we have a process that we can offer people with cancer or with MS or with diabetes or any other problem, that we have some research, some evidence to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done two studies, and the first was with people with cancer, and that was a study where we integrated focusing and the arts, and it was a very successful study, and we found that people had better emotional, social functioning after 6 weeks. After 2 days of focusing a week apart. They were kind of on a focusing retreat where they used focusing and poetry and movement and art. And that was very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
But I was curious what part, we didn't ever sort out what part was the poetry and the writing and the movement and what part was the clearing of space. So I was eager to do another study where we looked at just clearing a space. And we completed that study a year ago, and we're just now writing up the results. And that's very exciting to me. Because our model was that we had focusing coaches from the Boston area, people who were certified focusing professionals, some who were therapists and some who weren't. And they met individually with women with cancer for 6 weeks. And they spent just 30 minutes each time with these focusing coaching sessions, and which were really clearing a space, but we called them focusing coaching. We found a couple of very interesting results. And one was that we had people meet in the first and last session in person, and then we had them meet on the telephone in the intervening sessions. So 4 sessions were on the telephone and 2 sessions were in person. And we found that the people on clearing the space on the telephone was just as powerful, just as useful, and just as healing to the women as it was in person. I think the reason that result feels important to me is that often when people are ill, coming out to have yet another appointment, when you're going to so many doctor's appointments, is challenging. It's wonderful to think that this process of clearing a space can be done on the telephone. And so these women were in the comfort of their own home, often lying on their bed, and having this wonderful guided experience of going inside their bodies and being able to place aside and get a little respite from some of their pain, physical pain and their emotional problems, and to put them aside and then to find a clearer space.
That's very beautiful, that sense,
So we were also struck by the different qualities that the women said that when we asked them in an exit interview, what changed for you over the 6 weeks, or what did you notice about this process, they said some things that were very exciting to us. They said they had a greater sense of well-being, that they felt that they also had more emotional self-regulation, that they could change the move from having a sad mood or a bad mood and shift it. And they felt more connected to themselves and more peaceful. So
that's very nice in a sense of, for instance, addressing that notion of what is healing, that quality of healing, because these words that you got from them in the exit interview give a little bit of a dimension of the sense of what's healing about it.
That's right. You know, so then, and they would then give examples, you know, they would say things like, it gave me islands of peace, or it quelled my panic, or I was able to, it gave me a sense of space, or I had a clear mind. They also talked about the mental clarity that it gave them. I had a clear mind afterwards. It helped me to get under the surface and to find meaning on the inside of myself. So, you know, they really were able to put into words this quality of healing and the quality of opening to the spiritual.
So what strikes me in what you say is how close the a connection with something deeper is to the surface, whether in an individual session of clearing a space or whether we're talking about the whole course of treatment that these patients had. It really didn't take that long for them to connect to that really deeper healing place.
Yes, that's so well said, Serge. I agree. Focusing teaches us how to come into the present moment and teaches us how to be with ourselves with compassion. What we call the focusing attitude is really treating yourself with a spiritual quality. I love what the biospiritual people call the caring, feeling presence. And so that's an aspect that helps us to so quickly come in into the body by treating ourselves in this way. And then the whole notion of coming into the body helps us to slow down. And when we're slowing down, have the possibility of finding aliveness and movement towards the spiritual so much more from a being place, a slowed down being place, than from a doing place.
Mm-hmm.
And focusing also just helps us to touch what we don't yet know. And the spiritual is in that mystery, that place of not yet fully knowing.
That's a very, very nice way to make the connection between focusing and spirituality. The connection with what we don't really know, what we can't know.
That's right. It helps us find that movement towards what we don't yet know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vital experience because it's embodied. So it's not some kind of intellectual experience, but it's a very full, alive experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really struck by that simplicity of way of defining the connection between focusing and the spiritual or mystical experience. And of actually, as you point out, the fact that focusing is embodied is a very nice way of not making that experience something that that is unnatural. It's really part of our heritage.
It is. It's part of our human possibilities. And mm-hmm. I think it's why we all have, those of us in the focusing community, have so much passion to teach focusing and to bring focusing to others, is because it allows us this entree. It opens these doorways that that are not difficult to get to with this wonderful process that Jean Genlin has given us.
Yeah, yeah. So we started, in a way, the conversation with the sense that there was so much that focusing means to you. And as we're coming toward the end of the conversation, of course, we've only scratched the surface. So is there a few things you might want to say to allude to some of the things we haven't talked about?
Well, at another point, I would love to talk with you about the crossing of positive psychology and focusing.
Mm-hmm.
Positive psychology is research that's found, it's really about the human potential for feeling pleasure, for feeling engagement, for feeling meaning. And I think focusing has a very big role because it is so positive in its assumptions about the life forward direction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new possibilities in bringing focusing to positive psychology and to our clients to open up that whole aspect of life, which is about feeling more gratitude and more meaning and more positivity.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, and focusing is just a wonderful way to ask people, what is it? You say that you love being at the ocean. What is it about being at the ocean that's so powerful for you or so wonderful for you? And then in going and being able to articulate the more of that, you know, oh, it's the vastness. It's, I can feel this perspective that life is so much bigger than I am. That makes me feel protected, or it makes me feel safe, or it makes me feel whatever, right? We're helping people to really deepen their connection to what in life is healing for them, or spiritual or positive. And that's a great gift we can offer our clients and ourselves.
And so just, you're saying this just after we were talking about the spiritual part and the contact with the not knowing, and here contact with appreciating more everyday life. And in a way, we've covered an enormous span of what focusing can do.
That's right. And it's inherent in the focusing process that it speaks to so many aspects of life, from suffering to joy.
Yeah. Yeah. From suffering to joy. Yeah. This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.